Let's start over here with Simon Tov Kuf Bem Tes. We'll start with Aruch HaShulchan. I like Aruch HaShulchan. It's nice and clear. A little lumdis, a little halacha. Here's some chidushim. You can never go wrong with Aruch HaShulchan. Page 109, Tov Kuf Mem Tes. So here he starts. So before we get to Shivas B'Tamlus, it's Ois Gimel. He first gives a general overview about the Dalid Ta'aniyos. Ois Aleph, Devar Yedua. Is it Devar or Devar? Dover Yedua. Shemitzvois asem in atoyol lizoik ulischanein al kol tsarosh leitovoi ulisanois bohem. Okay, this in mitzvah de'arais, when Rachmanel Litzlan, there is a tsar for a person to cry out and to be mispal to Hashem, he's really quoting from the Rambam. This is what the Rambam says. So Dover Yedua, that when there's a tsar, you have to dive into Hashem. The yispar, where is that pasta? That pasta comes from Parshas Chukas. Chukas is the chatzoitras. V'chiyavay tsar ba'artzechem al kol hatzara hatzareschem uzik v'harei oisem b'chatzoytzres. You shall cry out with the trumpets. That's the makar. Whenever an enemy or any type of difficulty comes upon the Jewish people, they shall blow the trumpets. And that is a makar for this concept that we're supposed to have a mitzvah de'oraisa to be mispalel at a time when we are faced with an ace tsara. Therefore, the yispar behilchos tainis, and this explains hilchos tainis. The yesh yamim shekol Yisrael misanim bohem mibnei hatzaros sheirul bohem, and then there are days that are tzaros for the entire klal Yisrael. Everyone has to be mispalel, and they have to fast. Kidei leoyer halavavos, and we have to fast in order to awaken the hearts v'liftoyach darkei teshuva, and to open up the ways of doing repentance. V'yia zez zikaron lemaaseinu. And this will be for us a remembrance. L'ma'aseinu horo'im, u'ma'asei avoseinu, shohoyu kima'aseinu ato, at shegorem lohem v'lonu oisun atzaros. Because this will be, when we do this, we will remember our evil deeds and the evil deeds of our forefathers. And then we will, v'zikaron advarim elu noshuv lehetiv, and when we call, when we fast, it forces us to reflect upon our evil deeds and the evil deeds of our forefathers that we are continuing to perpetuate, and that will force us to reflect and to do tshuva and to better our ways. It says, "V'hisvadu es avoinam." They will confess their sins. V'es avoin avoisam. This the Rambam, Perakei Meitainis. A lot of depth in this Rambam. If you want to analyze it and super analyze it, and the Rambam basically over here is saying is that when you don't eat, you think. It causes you to think. Isn't that amazing? And you think, that's also true, but it causes you to think, and it causes you to reflect. It's very, very true. I know I go every year, I participate in this kinos, Tisha B'Av. I think the whole success of this kinos is there's no food. Every time you go to an event, you go to a convention. I used to go years ago to conventions. I went to the National Council Convention, OU Convention. I used to go to these conventions, and it's all about food. food. And of course, they have good speakers. But there's no question, the food takes away from the ability to concentrate and to listen to the speakers who go to the hotels. So they paid a fortune of money.
Do you listen to all these speakers on an empty stomach?
What?
Yeah.
It's not. Tisha B'Av, there's no food. It's really amazing. There's no distraction. There is no. Now, it's very hard for many people. They're dehydrated. They're not accustomed to fast. They don't fast well. So it doesn't go off well. But for those people, when you're dealing with a very large number of people, see, today you don't have, at least where I go, it's not large anymore. Years ago, before the internet, I remember by Dr. Mendel, his famous program, the Tishba program, in his heyday, La Chateau, he had, I think, 2,000 people there at the same time. Could you imagine? And 2,000 people were sitting and listening to Rav Matisyahu Solomon. There's no food. Everyone was paying very close attention. Today, you can't even get 200 people to come, because today, there's a billion programs, and there's a billion things online. So today's a whole different world today. So it's a whole, today you can't really compare what it used to be.
Success.
What?
It's the price of success.
Yeah, so it's a different world today. But I remember years ago, and it's amazing, because if you go, I'll go the same time to a convention, Everyone is running around into the kitchen. Everyone is running around to go find some good food because, you know, free food, whatever. Okay, you listen to the drasha for an hour. You make a couple of jokes. It doesn't absorb the message. It's besides the fact that whatever fasting does to whatever you don't eat, you afflict yourself. But the Rambam, we read it here between the lines of the Rambam, what we're saying is that when you don't eat, there's no distraction. There's no distraction. You're forced to reflect upon what is life really about. Forget about the inui. Forget about the affliction that you're suffering. Just remove distractions. You know, the Chazon Ish is famous, world famous. Chazon Ish always says the tefillah many mothers recite when they light candles is that the ikar tefillah for your children is not that they should be successful. That's not what you should be mispallel for. It's shocking to him to say this. He says the ikar tefillah you should mispallel for your children is Hashem should remove, protect them from the distractions that would otherwise take them away from developing the way they should. A child is guaranteed to develop well. That's the reality. A child is guaranteed to develop to his potential. That's the way Hashem made a child, made a human being when they're very young. Why does it happen that people are not successful? Because the distractions are just overwhelming. The distractions of doing this, doing that, it totally destroys the mind, it pulls you away. So you have to be mispalel for a child that he should not, they should not be distracted. The Hashem should protect him from these distractions. And the mele, when there are no distractions, it's natural for a young person, a young young mind, to develop in the proper way. To a certain degree, now adults, you don't say that because adults, whatever, adults are a little bit different. But the Rambam here says that when you take away food from your plate, then you are not distracted. And as long as you have enough caffeine in your body, and you're somehow able to prepare in advance. In this generation, it's almost impossible already, right? Who can fast anymore today? But if a person was able to fast well, and there's no food, it's an incredible experience. There's a lack, there's no distraction. You can think about what life is all about. And that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Dalit, Yomim Haim, there are four different fast days. Fast day number one is Yom Gimel B'Tishrei Shabo Nera Gedali Ben Achikam, on the third day of Tishrei when Gedali Ben Achikam was assassinated. The Nichbe Gacheles Yisrael HaNeshares, the last coal of the Jewish people was extinguished. The last remnant of people, survivors, living in Eretz Yisrael, that flame went out. That Ner went out. They all ran away to Egypt. This was the cause for the Skarbus, the increase in Saras. That's the day when Nebuchadnezzar he laid siege to Yerushalayim. When the 90th of the Malchus Yirmiyah, in the 10th month, that is Teves, the Esau La'Chodesh, the 10th day, Bar Nebuchadnezzar, V'cholchilu, Nebuchadnezzar, the entire army came on Yerushalayim, period. V'yechezkel Shoya B'Bavel, in Golus Yechanya, Gil Eloh, we learned this not that long ago. This is a miracle. This is an amazing insight that he was able to predict. He told them that today, you know what's happening today? This is before the days of email and cell phones. You know what's happening today in Yerushalayim? Nebuchadnezzar is laying siege to Yerushalayim. They said to Yechezkel, how in the world can you possibly know that? We're living over here so far away from Yerushalayim and Bavel. How can you know what's going on in Yerushalayim? Hashem revealed this secret to him. And Golas Yechani Goyilo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Zed Benevuah Ba'Oisa Hayom. Because this is the pasuk that Yechezkel Vahid Hashem Elayel B'Shana Hatshis Ba'Chodesh Chasiri Be'Esol Chodesh Lo'Emar Ben Adam Kosav L'Chol Hashem Hayom Es Etzem Hayom Hazeh Samach Mel Bavel El Yerushalayim Be'Etzem Hayom Hazeh. He says already three times the idea of this day. Kolaymar Shetziv Lo'Ekad Lichtoiv Shem Hayom Hainu Hachodesh. I want you to write down the month. V'gam Hayom Hazeh Prati, the day of the month. V'chosa be'esel ha'chodesh ha'siri v'lo yoda ha'navi al-mo tzivle lichtoiv kein v'ach ha'shekosav gilo. After he wrote down this day, Hashem revealed him, you know why this day is significant? Because right now, da'alucho ki somach melchbavel yushalayim bi'etzma yom hazeh v'zeh ru'u kol ha'nevuah ha'mit v'zeh ro'u ha'kol. And then when it was revealed, I guess months later, when messengers arrived from Yerushalayim to Bavel, and they told them what has happened, and they told them the date when it happened. They were amazed. How, Yechezkel, did you know this? It must be, indeed, you are a true prophet of Hashem. Ha'aro, ha'kol, ha'nevuah, ha'amitis, she'be'bavel, niskal, la'hanav, everyone saw that Hashem revealed to Yechezkel in Bavel, Lahanavi osa hayom va'osa shah the etzem hayom mikri itzuma shalyom kechatzayis. Not only did they tell him what day, they told him it happened exactly midday. V'alki hayu oz not nevi sheker. Since at that point in time there were many false prophets. Shehitu es yisrael kmo Chananya ben Ezor v'chaverav shesnabu b'shabes hamidush lo yicharev. They told the people that do not worry, we are prophets also. And we're telling you that there's nothing to worry about. The Mikdash will not be destroyed. And in fact, all of the Goyim will return to Yerushalayim. And these false prophets, they strengthened the Rishoyim. The Yirmiyah Sheikhichon, Yirmiyah was in opposition. Yirmiyah had to put up with these people. He gave them Musar. Sheyashuvu El Hashem, they should do teshuva. V'imulavin if not yecherav pesach hamidosh v'yishol yiglu, and they're going to go galus. Hoshivu bechatzar hamatara. So Yecheskel was not popular, and Yirmiyah was not popular, and therefore Yirmiyah was put into prison. V'samu bebar sheltit, they put him in a dungeon. Kimavur b'Yirmiyah ad kan. Al kain therefore hoydi Hashem liyecheskel hanavi b'bavel sheyirmiyah navi emes. V'niba b'bavel kol ma'ashira b'yaret shol. He said prophecy in Bavel, everything which happened in Yaret Shol. V'alkia v'asar b'teves hoyis haschol satsaris al kain kavul l'tainis l'dayrois. And because asar b'teves was the beginning of the siege, Chazal established this as a fast day for all generations. V'nimsa b'shem hakadmonim v'lmole lo'hoya chal asar b'teves b'shabes. Like it says, so we don't follow this because it doesn't happen anyway. But in any event over here, he says over here is that, just to summarize over here, he says that the second of the fast day is Sarbateves. Sarbateves is critical because it's the Haschola. That was the Haschola, and it's a day that's filled with amazing history, where Yecheskel miraculously told the people what's taking place on this day way before they could have known about it, and it turned out that he was correct, and they all had a revelation, and Yecheskel indeed was a real Navi. And being that it's the Haschola of all of the Tzaris, it's Davar Chomer Ma'od, and theoretically if Asar B'Teves would fall out on Shabbos, we would be required to fast even on Shabbos, especially the fact that it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, and it says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh with regard to Yom HaKippurim, and there we fast on Shabbos. So we make this Gzeira Shava that we were to fast also on Shabbos, but it would fall out on Shabbos. However, we all know that the calendar was arranged in such a way where it can never possibly fall out on Shabbos. However, it does fall out on Friday occasionally, and that's why we do fast Asar B'Teves when it falls out on Friday. There are different minhagim if you're supposed to be mashlim the fast. It's a very interesting concept, and we don't appreciate this. But generally, see, we're brainwashed that when you fast, you have to fast to the very, very end until it's seis hakoychavim, like Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, that's indeed correct. You have to fast the entire calendar day from sundown until seis hakoychavim. But the truth is, when it comes to a regular tainus, a regular fast day, that's not Yom HaKippurim, you don't really have to fast to the end of the day. You only Me'ikar Adin have to fast until you don't have to fast past the end of the day. Until the end of the day. Once already it's Mincha Ketana, once already it's an hour and 15 minutes before Mincha, the last hour and 15 minutes, you're not really Mechuyif to fast. That's not the Ikar Tainus, is the fast in the morning. It's the fast and really the night before. That we don't do that anymore either. But it's really to fast when the day begins into the morning, Mincha. And after Mincha, to a certain degree, the fast is over. That's clear. That's clear in Halacha. The fast is over, and that's it. You're finished. We don't do that. I don't know why we don't do that. For whatever reason, we're very makbid to fast until the day is completely over, which means until it's Seis HaKoychavim. But if you'll notice, even by the real machmirim, they're not makbid to wait 72 minutes. No one that I know, when it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos, they'll wait 72 minutes before they'll do Malacha. They're not going to wait more than 45 minutes. 45 minutes when the fast day is over before they'll eat. They'll have a ma'arav early, but they'll calculate that they should already be able to eat 45 minutes after sunset. Why? If he's so machmir not to eat until do malacha 72 minutes, so the day is not over by you until 72 minutes. What? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If they hold say sakhi chalim in the gubenu time, and it's mamish, and laila is not mamish over until that point in time. So why then is it the minig that even those that are very makbid on Shabbos?
So those
Shabbos,
are makbid rabbeinu tam and not makbid rabbeinu tam of Ma'ariv?
90, there are those that are makbid even 90 minutes. Ma'ariv, no. Ma'ariv is different. You can have Ma'ariv early. It's doing malacha.
Yeah,
it's doing, no, no. Right. It's doing malacha. First of all, you're not going to find a minig to go daven 72 minutes because most people can't wait that long. Most people are not like that. So it's hard to have a minion like that. But in Chanan, those people are very, very makbid, and probably in Eretz Yisrael you have minyanim where they first daven Ma'ariv 72 minutes after Shkia. I'm sure you can find Eretz Yisrael, not in America,
okay.
Maybe in Bar Park also. But when it comes to a tainus, you don't find people doing that. What's the reason? Because the truth is, when it comes to a tainus, you don't even have to fast until sunset. Once already you get to the end of the day, you're done. You can eat. And this has many nafkim in this lahalacha. Erev Shabbos. Let's say Asara B'Teves Eschal Erev Shabbos. So Me'ikar Hadin, you have to fast. That's what we learn. Because even if Asara B'Teves would fast on Shabbos, with Chal on Shabbos, you would fast on Shabbos also. So certainly when it comes out Erev Shabbos, when do you break the fast Asara B'Teves? So we live in a world, for whatever reason, we don't break the fast until it's already Shabbos. We daven Ma'ariv, we go home, some of the Shem Shulti daven L'Ma'ariv, they daven Shabbos a little bit earlier that week. What? Kiddush is Kiddush. But that's not necessarily correct, because it's not a covered for Shabbos to go into Shabbos in a state of being famished. That's a zilzal for Shabbos. You come into Shabbos and you're starving, so break the fast a half an hour before Shabbos begins. L'chatchila, break the fast, eat something, go eat, not a meal, not have a meal, but eat something. So then when you go to shul, you can daven like a mensch, and when you come to make kiddush Shabbos night, you'll be refreshed. How could you do that? That's not what a fast is. A fast does not mean you go to the very, very end. A chosen kala, let's say chosen kala, getting married in the afternoon, so as long as they fast in the morning until some point in the afternoon, Me'ikar Hadin, they're already done, and they can break their fast, Me'ikar Hadin. People don't do this because for some reason, I don't know why, for some reason we're brainwashed that you have to fast the whole day to the very, very, very end until it's already dark outside and it's 45 minutes outside. So I don't know, that's somehow it became. But it's not an Ikar Hadin. It's not. Ikar Hadin is that fasting ends when the day, when you've already gone through the majority of the day, you have shown that you are being mishtatef in the tsar of Klal Yisrael, you are afflicting yourself, you're being a cheshbon hanefesh, and that is sufficient. And that's why when it comes to Asara B'Teves, it's enough for you to fast on Friday until the end of the day. You should not come into Shabbos in the state of being hungry. Oy skimel, now here we come.
Do you ever fast on the night before
though? No, we don't do. However, you should know. Well, I'll tell you what we do, but also we do fast, and that is when you go to sleep. When does the fast begin? People don't know this. People think that the fast begins when they wake with dawn, right? When 72 minutes before sunrise, or maybe 50 minutes before sunrise, you can be making. You have to wait 72. You can make it. You can really start the fast 50 minutes before sunrise, a little bit, 60 minutes, maybe even less, maybe 40 minutes if you're really hungry. It's not really true. You know when the fast begins? When you go to sleep. If you don't make any condition. If you don't make any condition and you go to sleep, the fast really begins at night with sundown. When the sun sets, that's when the fast begins. We don't do that because it's only a minhag to fast. The fasts were given to us by the prophets. The tzayim, harivit, tzayim hachamishi, tzayim hasiri, and the tzayim Horvi, Chamishi, Shvihi, and Asiri. Okay? Now, the Nevi'im sanctioned the fast. When they made the fast day, there's no such thing as not fasting at night. You fast at night through the day, and you don't have to go to the end of the day. You go to close to the end of the day. That's the way that's a fast in Tanakh. Those fast days became bottled with the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. When the Bayis Sheni was rebuilt, then these fast days that were sanctioned by the Nevi'im became bottled. When the Bayis Sheni was destroyed, they were reinstituted, but only as a minhag, not as an Ikar Hadin. And being that it's only a minhag, Chazal only, they just said you can be lenient. You don't have to do it 100%. It's enough to do it partially. What's called partially? From the morning. But that's not correct. Not from the morning. From the moment you go to sleep. So if you are an early to bed person, early to bed, early to rise, will make you
healthy, wealthy, and wise.
If you go to sleep 8 o'clock at night, it's not even dark yet, even the Maariv yet, let's say 10 o'clock, and then you wake up at 11 o'clock, okay, you wake up at 11 o'clock, guess what? You're stuck. You can't eat. The fast begins when you go to sleep, because that's the Ikar fast. The Ikar fast is when you go at night, and Chazal said, so begin the fast when you go to sleep. It counts. You're also fasting. Until you go to sleep, you can eat. But once you already go to sleep, it counts. You're getting credit. You're getting credit for fasting. L'mayin afkin mina, if I wake up in the middle of the night, if I wake up 3 o'clock in the night, I want to go take a snack. I want to go down to the kitchen to go take a snack. I need something. You can't. You're not allowed to fast because, unless you make a commission. Make it tonight. I am not beginning my fast. Don't tell me nothing. I'm not beginning my fast because I'm going to have breakfast at 5 o'clock in the morning because I want my koichas for tomorrow, the next day. Okay, so then when you go to sleep, it's going to be delayed because you made an explicit tonight. Yeah. The only time that you must fast is with the new day, which is about before dawn. When is dawn? I don't know. 72 minutes, 50 minutes, 40 minutes before sunrise. That's when it must begin. But the truth is, if you don't make any condition, it begins with going to sleep.
Is that condition like a vow that if you don't get up, you're in violation?
Yes. If you don't make a condition and you wake up, you're not allowed to eat. You're in violation. Absolutely.
No. I mean, if you say, I want to eat, right? And then you don't get up till after the fast again, so you can't eat.
If you happen to wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, I could still eat,
no, you can't. If you don't make, I understand.
He's saying the other way. He's saying if you
make it tonight, I'm going to eat.
And then you don't eat.
No, he verbalized it, but then
you
didn't get up.
You're not going to eat. Then you don't eat.
Yeah. So you didn't eat. What do you want? So what, no harm done. No harm is done. No harm is done.
It's not a promise. It's a condition.
Oh, you mean? No, it's a condition, not a promise. You don't have to eat. You don't have to eat. It means I want to make it understood that I want the option. I want to keep my options open. If I happen to get up early in the morning, I want to be able to eat. Yes, so that's what you should do. I thought your question was, you get schar in shemayim. In other words, if you don't make the tanai, so in shemayim, we don't know how these things work. So instead of getting only fasting for 12 hours, you fasted for 17 hours. You got another 5 hours in. You make a tanai. I make a tanai. I'm going to eat tomorrow. I'm going to eat before the fast begins, and I oversleep, and it ends up I don't eat. So now in shemayim, do I get credit for a 17-hour fast, or they only get credit for a 12-hour fast because I made my tanai? I have no idea. I have no idea how these things work.
What? If you start fasting at night,
yeah,
because you went to sleep, 9 o'clock.
So you get credit. Chazal say you get credit.
So you get credit.
But if you make a tanai, I make it tonight.
Then I'll get up.
I'm gonna eat. I want to eat if I don't want it to start. And then I forget. I don't get up. So it turns out that Limafreya, I ended up fasting for 17 hours.
Right.
And I want my credit, 17 hours on credit. And Shabbat, they said, listen, sonny boy, you made it tonight.
Yeah, but
I only get 15 hours of credit.
The guy was that my fast would be much easier. Now it's going
to
be.
I don't know how these things work. Maybe you're right. Maybe you were. I don't know. No one ever came back to tell me how these things go. Believe me, this would not be the first question I would ask someone who came from that world to tell me all the secrets. This was not a priority. I have other questions to ask. Alright.
This one he may answer.
This, exactly. You, exactly. This I have permission to tell you. Everything else I have no permission to tell you. Okay, let's go further. Ois Gimel. Okay, now we come to Shivas V'tamach. This I really want to talk about. When we do after I finish the halach, we have to talk about all the five things and go through them in more detail. But over here it begins with Shivas V'tamach. Chamisha Dvarim Irubo. There were five things that happened on Shivas V'tamach. Tomorrow's fast day. Number one is the Shtabru Haluchos. Number one is the Luchos were shattered. Okay, so today is 16. Today was the day when they said to Aaron, we want to make an eagle. Aaron said to Klal Yisrael, today, Chag la Hashem Mochar. Today is the anniversary of Aaron HaKohen saying those words.
Today is the anniversary of Hur's being killed.
Hur's yahrzeit. Today is Hur. He was killed. That's right. It's a very tragic day. Hur was killed today. He was killed today. And Aaron said those words, Chag LaHashem Mochar. And the next day, Moshe, they began to worship. They worshiped. And notice, no one talks about the eagle being worshipped the next tomorrow. They don't even want to mention that. That's taboo. You don't even want to mention that, but that's all included in the Shviras HaLuchos. When we mention the Luchos was shattered, that automatically concludes with it the fact, the tragedy of dancing around the eagle. Nishtabru HaLuchos, the bottle HaTamid, Bebayis Rishon, the Tamid was bottled in the Bayis Rishon. By the way, there's no makar for this. This is purely tradition. There is absolutely no record. This is what I want to talk about later. Other things, but there's no record of when the Talmud, when they ran out of animals. When did they run out of animals? There was a siege. There was a siege for 3 years. There was a siege going on for 3 years. So it could be that they stopped bringing korbanos even 2 years, maybe a year before the korban. It's not exactly clear exactly what year, and there was a siege for 3 years. Exactly what point in time during the three, which year they stopped bringing the korban Talmud. But we have a tradition that it happened on Shavasa B'Tamos. Maybe it happened in the last year, the same time when they breached the walls. That's when they stopped the Talmud. Bais Rishon, the Hufka Ha'ir Yushalmi B'Chum Bayashena. He always says over here. He's already getting into the Machleis Baal and Yushalmi. Is that the walls were breached? The walls were breached in the Bayis Sheni. When were the walls breached during the Bayis Rishon? So according to the Bavli, on the 9th day of Teves, not on the 17th day. So here, the 17th is significant in that the walls were breached by the Romans on the 17th day of Teves. B'chum Ayesheni. Now we have a new thing. V'soraf Apostomos Horosho Eshatar. He burned the Torah. When did he live? Apostomos was a Greek. This is the Hanukkah story. It's Mamash Hanukkah tomorrow. Hanukkah, we celebrate the miracle of Hanukkah. The Nitzachon, but when do we commemorate the tragedy of Hanukkah? It was 50-year period of time, Gesundheit, when the Jewish people were tortured, when they were wars, there were terrible things that were going on, terrible gezeiros. So one of the terrible things that happened during the time leading up to the Hanukkah miracle was there was a Greek king by the name of Apostomos. And he took a Sefer Torah and he burnt it publicly. And that made that. Now today you'll say, so what else is new? I mean, that's what you'll say today. What else is new? The Nazis didn't destroy and burn 6 million people. It's not worse than burning a Sefer Torah. 6 million living people. And what about the Crusades? And what about Khmelnytsky? And what about the pogroms, the blood libels, and the go on for that? That took place after the Churban Bayis Sheni. But it was a novelty during the time when the Bayis Beis HaMikdash was in existence. During the time of the Bayis Sheni, somewhere smack in the middle, the time of the Hanukkah miracle was about smack in the middle, in the 200 years into the Bayis Sheni, it was a novelty that someone would have the chutzpah to burn a Sefer Torah. These things just didn't happen. Okay, it just didn't happen. You would burn, even a goy would have reverence for a Sefer Torah, to burn a Sefer Torah. So indeed, it was a novelty. It was the first time. Now I don't know what about during the Bayis Rishon. What about during the Bayis? Do we find that someone burnt the Sefer Torah during the Bayis Rishon? Well, we find Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim, he took Megillas. That's Megillah. That wasn't the Sefer Torah. He took Yirmiyah's Megillah and he burnt it. He burnt it in fire. It doesn't say that he burnt the Sefer Torah.
Right.
Okay, Sefer Torah's mamish was a different league. So I don't know. In the Bayis Rishon, is there a record in the Bayis Rishon that they burnt the Sefer Torah? They burnt the Beis HaMikdash. That was by Yeshen Titus. That was by, oh, you say Menashe. Menashe and Omoin. Menashe was born his mother.
That was in
Bayis Rishon. But did he burn?
Did he do it on Sefer Torah?
Did he do it on Sefer Torah? I'm not so sure. Maybe it was only by Yeshen Titus. Titus did the same thing on a Zoyna. Titus was not born his mother. Titus was born as Zoyna, it says. Was born as Zoyna in the Kodesh HaKadoshim under a Sefer Torah. Took out a Sefer Torah and was born on top of the Sefer Torah, was born as Zoyna. So that was the Bayis Sheni. That was already after this Maisa. In the Bayis Rishon, Did someone have the chutzpah to burn a Sefer Torah? They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. What? They killed the Navi, right? Correct. They killed Zechariah. They could do
living Sefer.
The people.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know. The Sodaf Apostamos Horosha as a Torah period. So this during the time of the Bayis Sheni, right in the middle. The Hemit Selim Hekel. Now, who put the Selim Hekel? So Lechaira, this refers to, as I really want to talk about later on, this refers to the Bayis, we're going back and forth Bayis Sheni, this refers to Menashe. Menashe, he put a Tselem in the Hekel. How do we know there's a date, there's a record? There's no record. You're not going to find a record anywhere in the world that this event took place on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. It's nothing more than tradition. It's a tradition handed down from generation to generation that the day that Menashe put the Tzelem in the Heichel, we read about Takin Yecheskel, the Tzelem, the Kin Hashem took Yecheskel, B'tzitzis Reishi, he took him in a vision to the Kodesh HaKetubes HaMidrash, he showed him it was a Seinel HaMakane, this image that caused Hashem Agmas Nefesh. When was that put in the Beis HaMikdash? It was on Shiv Asar B'Tammuz. It's a day of tradition. It's very, very right. It's a day of tradition. Because a lot of these things you can't prove. And a lot of the things over here, many of the events over here are not, there's no record. It's tradition. And Shiv Asar B'Tammuz, we observe the fast based upon our belief in Masar. That speaks volumes. V'chein Tisha B'av Iru B'gamkin. Now he goes to Tisha B'av. Five things happen in Tisha B'av. G'gamkin Iru Chamisha Dvarim. Number one is Bo Nigzal Yisrael B'midbar Shlo Yikon Sul Yartz. It was on Tisha B'av. They're not going to Eretz Yisrael. V'chorav. And therefore that's a B'chil Udairah. So that's something very interesting. I found this very, very fascinating. I don't know how to pronounce the name of the city, but there was a convention by the Nazis what to do about the Jewish problem.
One C.
Oh, how do you pronounce it?
One C.
One C.
One
C. Two N's. One C.
January of 42.
Okay, it was in January of 42. And then Adolf Eichmann, he wrote up a memo, the finals, summarizing what took place at the Wayne C. One C. One C. conference. Do you know the date of that memo? No, even though this is in January, the date summarizing and finalizing what took place at conference was Erev, I don't have the English date to match up, Erev Tisha B'Av. That's the memo, the official memo of Adolf Eichmann summarizing what took place at this convention, describing. It was the whole thing was 2 hours. The whole thing took 2 hours. It was very quick. It was very, they were very, very, one,
fixed.
Two, three.
It was fixed.
What? Of course it was fixed. It was 2 hours. Everyone agreed, of course, the Jews are a problem. We're going to wipe them out. And the whole thing. It was Erev Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av. What did Klal Yisrael do for 38 years, Erev Tisha B'Av? Every single member in Klal Yisrael, Erev Tisha B'Av, for 38 years, the Midbar dug their own grave. You went out on Erev Tisha B'Av, not Tisha B'Av. Because Tisha B'Av is when they died. Erev Tisha B'Av, everyone out to the field, and they dug a grave and they lied down. And then it's night, you daven Ma'ariv, everyone says goodbye to each other, and no one knew who would not come up the next morning. 15,000 people did not wake up the next morning. And that was the night of Tisha B'Av. Erev Tisha B'Av. So when Chazal said that Tisha B'Av is a Bechil Adoros, it's a Bechil Adoros. Look, World War I began on Tisha B'Av. The Spanish expulsion was on Tisha B'Av.
Right.
There were many world events, horrible world events. It was Tisha. One of the world events that people are not part of that list is this event. It's not Tisha B'Av. It's Erev Tisha B'Av. But in fact, it really fits better because. Just like everyone in Klal Yisrael had to dig their own grave because of the chait of its combination, the Chavad Yisrael's combination, the chait of the Egel and the chait of the Meraglim, it's the combination of these things together. Therefore, it would be a bechil ledoyos. By yivku ha'am balayla ha'hu, that night was a night bechil ledoyos, and the mela they had to prepare for that night by digging their own graves. Is it not ironic? Is it not? It's not a coincidence that Kadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us that the bechil ledoyos. Adolf Eichmann, he basically dug the graves of Klal Yisrael Erev Tisha B'Av. Okay, he finalized the summary of the conference Erev Tisha on the Erev Tisha B'Av of B'chil L'Doyres. Okay, next.
It was the 7th of Av, depending on the day.
The 7th of Av?
Yeah, but it could have been at night, so it was the
8th. Okay, I read in the very...
The date we have is 7/31/1941.
Yeah, that's when that was, it's about.
But it could have been released at night, so at night it would be already...
All right, because I read in a book that's very accurate. It says that it was dated. I have to go back and look at it.
Yeah, it could have been dated in the afternoon, and after the shkia, whatever.
It was dated Erev Tisha B'Av.
What did happen on Tisha B'Av was the letter from Himmler to have him throw up the protocol. I forget his name. The guy throw up the protocol. That happened on Tisha B'Av. That happened on Tisha B'Av.
Abachil Dorot, Chantisha B'Av, Iru Boy Gamkin, Hamisha Dvarim, Nigzar Alay Chol, Bamidbar Shlo Yiri Consul Yorets, V'chodav Abayis, but Rishon, the second one is V'chodav Abayis, but Rishon and Rishniya, the two Botim Migdashos were destroyed, the Mesoif Molochim Silva Chodesh, Achamishi, B'Shiva Lachodesh, B'Yotes, Lamalchus Nebuchadnezzar in his 19th year, Bo Nevuzar Adan, V'yistroif, it's based on Hashem, Mesoif Yirmi Yoksiv, it says, Alze Hamas Atzma Be'esol Lachodesh, V'Amu B'Tainis, it was on the 10th day, we have a stira. In one place it says it was on the 7th day, and the other place it says it was on the 10th day. So how do we reconcile this contradiction? V'yamu b'tainis, Tanya. Iyav shalom v'shiva sh'rikvar ne'mar b'yesra. Iyav shalom v'yesra, because it was on the 10th day, because sh'rikvar ne'mar b'shiva. We have a contradiction. Ha'ketzad. The answer is this, exactly what happened, the chronology. B'shiva, on the 7th day, nichnesu l'heichal. And the 8th day of Chulu, 8th day, they looted the Heichal. Utashihi on the 9th day, Samuch l'chashecha, Hitzisu v'yesar. They ignited the Heichal. V'hoyadolik v'holachol yom asiri, and they burnt, most of it burnt on the 10th day. So therefore, they're both correct. That was a process. It was a 4-day process. They entered the 7th, they looted the 8th, they began the fire on the 9th, and the Mikdash burnt on the 10th. V'nilku the fire. Now we go to what else happened on Tisha B'Av. V'nilku the Beitar. Beitar was captured. V'hoyiba alafim revavos. There were tens of thousands. There were millions, in fact. Alafim revavos miyisrael. V'hoyisha melech v'melech. There was a king. V'rabim v'dibush shehu melech hamashiach. There was the Bar Kochva. Bar Kochva was the king, and he was a student of Rabbi Akiva. And Meir. Meir is really into this stuff. Meir, you have a whole drush, a whole shiur. It's the most popular shiur on the website, I think. On the side, the bar of the website. There's the popular shim, I think you're number one. Rabbi Maevsky, number two. Where do I fall? Why? You keep on listening to it?
I keep on listening to it.
Okay. V'ha melech v'ram dimushu melech ha-mashiach v'garmu ha-avoynais. And they killed, and they killed, and they killed. They thought he would be melech ha-mashiach v'garmu ha-avoynais. And the sins caused that he was killed, v'nergu kulam, and they were all killed. Okay, v'gamlo didn't l'kvu, and they were not even allowed to be buried. It took 7 years. I think 7 years they were not buried. V'ha'isat tzar gedol kamo chumis hamidosh v'yom hazah hu hamuchan l'peranis charash. And the last thing is charash turnus roipes harasha. He was one of the Roman kings. Es ha'heichol. So even though the mikdash was destroyed, but no one could deny, this is very relevant in Bizman Hazeh, even though the Mikdash was destroyed, no one could deny that there once upon a time was a Beis HaMikdash on this spot. Right? It was on record. It was online. It's a fact. There was a stone there. There were remnants of the Beis HaMikdash. So basically what he did was, he rewrote history. When it talks about him being plowing the Beis HaMikdash with the Sodeh, Tziyan, the Sodeh, Tichoresh, it basically means, put it in the context of modern terms, he rewrote history. He basically says, there was never a temple on the Har HaBayis. The Jewish people have absolutely no connection to this land. They never existed here. This whole thing is make-believe, it's hocus-pocus, what they're telling you. That's really, in essence, what he did. By plowing the Beis HaMikdash, the Har, doesn't say, oh, he made the plow the Beis HaMikdash. No, he removed all of the artifacts. He removed all of any record, any remnant, any zecher that there was ever a Jewish presence on the Har HaBayis, to make it that much more difficult for Klal Yisrael to one day return and say, this is our land.
So on the paper, UNESCO voted
to return Hebron to the Palestinians.
It's an Arab holy site. It's designated an Arab holy site.
The Jews never, the Jews have no connection. Oh, but what about Marcin Achpelo, Abraham Avinu? No, no, they paid Abraham Yos Keshe
Gazov. But he's the father of the Arabs.
No record. The Jews never lived here. That's really what he did. That's the deeper message of what Turnus Rufus. Turnus Rufus.
But he left the Kaisel HaMarav, you know.
What?
And he left the Kaisel HaMarav.
No, that was Titus. Titus gave over here that in Echanami that they couldn't take it down. They didn't have the manpower. That was the miracle. That was the miracle of the miracle. But they wanted to take down the Kaisel HaMarav, but didn't work. So they claim that the Kaisel is not. They make a claim. The Kaisel, whatever you tell them, will never be good enough. They'll claim that it's not of the temple. So therefore, we have a grand total of 10 things. It's not 5 things, it's 10 things. Because Shabbos V'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av are 2 parts of one whole. And 5 and 5. 5 tragedies occurred on Shabbos V'Tammuz, 5 tragedies occurred on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, you bring the 2 together, you have a total number of 10. The number 10 is very significant because the world was created. The Asara Mamoros, there are Asara Teraten Dibros, and the world came to its perfection, its shlemus, with the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and with the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash, the world basically went back to a state of Toihu Vavoyu. And the same way the world came into a state of perfection with the number 10, the world went back to its emptiness also in the number 10. 5 on Shivas Betamuz, and 5 on Tishra. Don't make that mistake, people. They always say 5, 5. No, it's not 5, it's 10. It's 10 broken up into 2 different parts, the beginning and the end of this period of time corresponding to the 10 Mamoroi Shenivra Ha'ilam. Okay, let's do another halacha. Ois Dalit. Ois Dalit is a Dalit Semos Halalu Harehin Mefurashim B'Kabbalah. Ali Dei HaNavi. These 4 fast days that we commemorate, this is a serious business. This is a pasuk in Navi. You can't ignore these fast days. This is not just a minik. Navi Zecharia. Ko Yamar Hashem Tzavakai. Tzayim HaRavi, this is the 4th day of the 4th month. Tzayim HaChamishi of the 5th month. That's we have Tammuz and Av. Tzayim HaShivi is Tishrei. Tzayim HaAsiri is Teves. Yiyeh Leves Yisrael Yehuda L'Sasainu L'Simcha. The day will one day, these fast days will one day be transformed into days of celebration. Tzayim Ravihu Yudzayim B'Tammuz B'Chodesh HaRavi, it's the 4th month of the year. Tzayim HaChamishi Yehu Tisha B'Av Shehu B'Chodesh HaChamishi. Tzayim HaShivi on the 7th month is Tzayim Gedalia Shehu Shivi L'Choy L'Chodoshim. Tzayim HaSiri Yehu Asar B'Teves is the 10th day of Teves Shehu Asir L'Chodosh, the 10th month. V'noagu kol Yisrael hesanos ve'elu hayomim b'yavgav d'vayis v'yishrin ha'ukvah l'shlam b'tisha l'tamus. Even though it says in Yirmiyah that in the Bayis Rishon the walls were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz, k'dechsib b'malachim b'malachim sham, b'kol malachim lo yitiknu bo ha'tainis rak b'yitzayin shebishmiya b'yukvah yir. That's when the walls were breached in the 2nd Bayis. We'll talk about this soon. V'yatzleinu chomulon churban b'yis sheni, and this reveals to us a very important Yisai. When we are mourning today, what are we mourning for? Are we mourning for the Bayis Rishon or the Bayis Sheni? Well, both. But which one is the Iker? Which one is the primary form of Gechorbin? The Bayis Sheni. The proof is, that's why we observe the 17th day, not the 9th day. Chavon and Chorbin Bayis Sheni, the Mi'oz Nisdal Dilan, Nisdal Dilanu, we became very low. And we were dispersed to a much greater degree in the Churban Bayis Sheni. So why not do both? Right, let's be machmir and fast the 9th day and the 17th day. It's too hard. It's too much to go with double tainis. So if we only do one, and the one we do is going to be Yud Zayin B'Tamas. Okay, so let's just get our feet wet. Tomorrow we'll continue more halacha. And we'll also, I want to also, after we take a break, I'll talk about more inyanim relating to Shavasa B'Tammuz.